Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll get the latest roundup from the world of EVs. And we'll meet the Irishman who is looking to put an end to the lost and found. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. I hope you're well and all is good in your world. It has been a busy but brilliant week in my world. On Wednesday, we held the very first of our Behind the Screens event. This is a mini roadshow that we have partnered up with CyberSafe Kids for, whereby we host panel discussions and talk to parents about their concerns and their considerations when it comes to parenting in the digital age. This has been a passion project of mine for the last few years, and I was just delighted to see so many people at both sessions asking really smart questions, taking notes, engaging in the conversation, and it was just fantastic. Those podcasts will be up on the Go Loud app in a few weeks' time, and I will post about them and I will shout about them here as well. But a little bit later on in this show, I'm going to bring you an exclusive clip from our expert panel because they had some fascinating insights to share. But I want to start this week with our old pal, Derek Riley of Nevo.ie. Derek, how are you?
I'm very good, Jess. How are you?
I am very well. I have been stalking your Instagram as ever, and I've seen that you've been here, there and everywhere. One that caught my eye this week was a highlighter yellow car. Please explain.
BYD Dolphin Surf. It's not your typical car name, but it is a very interesting car, four-seater. And first of all, colour, Jess, you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan, but, and you know that I know nothing about cars, right? But what I would say is it caught my eye because it is highlighter yellow, but the design of it is actually beautiful. And BYD has been catching my attention. I'm seeing them much more on the roads because obviously I know about them now, thanks to you. But I have to say the design of this is beautiful. And I don't know if this is a stupid thing to say, but it's the perfect mix of kind of boxy from the back, but then sleek and beautiful at the same time.
In China, it's called the Baby Lambo. And the reason for that is the chief designer for BYD is a gentleman called Wolfgang Egger. And he is the guy that designed the Audi TT. So used to work for Audi and also Lamborghini.
Wow, that's it's funny how you can kind of see, and again, not being a car fanatic, but you can see the thoughtfulness that went into the design. You can see some of that translating across into this car.
Yeah, it's not just a box on wheels as much as it is tall and boxy at the rear. The front of it is definitely distinctive. And I think you're seeing that when you're out and about, Jess. You're seeing the BYD seal. You're seeing the C-Line 7. You're seeing that they've taken their own design. You're not mixing it up with a European brand or an American brand or a Korean brand. You're saying, oh, that's a BYD. And I suppose it's testament to a brand that hasn't been too long in the car market that a non-motor car head like yourself is taking note of them on the road and the design of them.
So who is this aimed at? Because you said there it's a four-seater, which instantly kind of piques my interest. Is this aimed at, you know, people like me who are looking for a city runaround type thing?
Yeah, but the range is not bad. They've two battery sizes and range of 230 and just over 300. So decent enough ranges. I know that we were chatting before when you're in the process of purchasing a car within your household. Mm-hmm. So Carrick and Shannon came up. So the larger battery would be decent enough to get you to Carrick and Shannon and back up again. So not just a city/urban runaround. I like to call them urban/suburban. So you're getting out to your Kildares, to your Louds, to your Wicklows comfortably and getting back in and only having to charge it once or twice a week. And so, yeah, four-seater. So this is the most affordable BYD that you can get. Prices starting at $17,985. There's a bit of a backing over with themselves and another Chinese brand called Leap Motor. They brought in their T03 at $17,995. Mm-hmm. So the BYD technically is €10 cheaper. Now, the one I was driving is $24,000, which is slightly different. But joking aside, most affordable car, their smallest car, and perfect for parking. perfect for city driving and getting the kids to school, but it is only a two-seater in the rear. So if you did need to carry three small ones in the rear, this isn't the car for you, but it will suit a lot of people for their second car or for that runaround that's needed if you're maybe even a first-time buyer.
Yeah, I have to say, I really like the look of it. Also, looking at the pictures on your Instagram of the inside of it, it seems to be nice and clean, not too busy, not too jazzy, but you do have the driver's monitor sort of behind the steering wheel. You've got your controls on the steering wheel, and then there's the monitor to the left.
Yeah, and a BYD stereo or BYD typical screen, that center one rotates. So it goes from landscape to portrait. So in certain apps and certain formats, such as maps, you'd like to have potentially a portrait so you can see more of the map that's coming ahead of you on the road. And so in a car of this size and price, to get a rotating screen in the middle, a bit of a gimmick, but it's something you don't get in other cars, and it's decent quality Android Auto and Apple CarPlay wirelessly, which the Leap motor doesn't have to its feather in its cap yet, up against the likes of the Hyundai Inster as well, which is a very important and popular car this year. Again, a four-seater, again, starting off at just under €19,000. So the more affordable, smaller EVs are definitely coming into their stride now, and more people are looking at them as a viable option.
You know, one of the most important things for me when we're talking about cars is the boot space. Where are we at in terms of boot space on this? Because it does look quite compact.
Yeah, but over 300 litres, so decent size of boot space. So a large suitcase or a couple of small suitcases, so not bad at all. You're not totally losing it out in boot space. What they have done is they've put it's fairly high in the rear, as you said, so tall, lanky people like me can't fit in behind myself in it. And so you can move adults around. It doesn't have to be children as well. So good size boot, good size rear space. So overall, a very decent and compelling package.
Yeah, I have to say, BYD does intrigue me. I think the design of their cars, they are beautiful looking. And everything that I've read about them in the research that we've been doing over the last little while, and obviously from talking to you as well, just seems really positive. So it's great to see them continuing to make strides and also bring new cars to the market as well. What else have you been driving this week?
I have been driving something in Paris, Jess, but I can't talk about it until next week. Oh, but I can't talk about the all the teas. Mm. Oh, please. We were in Paris, just outside Paris, and it was the all-new Toyota CHR Plus. And so a lot of people in Ireland would be aware of Toyota CHR, this funky little SUV, B-segment SUV, radical design, but the Irish market really liked it. It came out in 2016, and Toyota said, right, God, people really like this car, specifically across Europe as well. Let's see if we can make it electric. So the CHR Plus is coming. I can't talk about the driving of it, but I can talk about the size, shape, features. Okay. I saw it in Brussels in March and got again to spend some time with it. It will be at our show in a couple of weeks in the Nevo Electric Vehicle Show, so punters can come along and see it there. But what would you like to know about it, Jess? Everything but the driving.
Everything but the driving. Okay, so just talk me through, obviously we need to know about the range, we need to know about the tech spec, and most importantly, is it an ugly looking yoke?
No, it's a coupe SUV. I think very stylish, and within that Toyota hammerhead design, real sleek looking. This is a C-segment SUV. What does that mean to Jess? So Jess, you'd be used to the BZ4X, which is their all-electric D-segment, so ID4, that large SUV you would see as taxis. This is sitting just slightly below it. Now, not a huge, because it's a ground-up EV, it's on a dedicated ETNG platform, TNGA platform, which is Toyota speak for their platform that they use. So boot size is 416 litres in Jess speak, two large suitcases and two small suitcases.
Ooh.
Yeah, and even though it's a coupe SUV, so it slopes down at the rear, they've done it so that the hinge point on the boot is behind the passenger headline, so I can sit behind myself very comfortably.
And you're very tall.
And I'm 6'2", 188 centimetres. I met somebody recently at an event and they're like, how's it going, Mr. 188 centimetres? Because I have to say every video, Jess.
And
friends of mine who watch all of my videos are like, please, Derek, stop saying the size of your height because we know what height you are. And I didn't in the next video. And somebody on the comments jumped in and said, really sorry, this is my first time watching your videos. Why don't you tell me what height you are? Because I could understand where we'd be in the back of the car. But anyway, yes, I am a taller gentleman. Yeah, so good space in the rear and in the boot.
Okay, well, that is good to know. And in terms of Toyota, because obviously they're one of the big manufacturers that everybody knows the logo, they know what they're about and all the rest. Where are they on their EV journey as such?
Stopped doing diesel back at the late teens in the 2000s and said, right, we're going to be petrol, we're going to be hybrid. And they had a couple of plug-in jobbies as well. So they have a plug-in RAV4, PHEV, as we call it, plug-in electric vehicle. And then they brought out the BZ4X, which would have been their starting all-electric vehicle D-segment. Fairly successful. And you see, a lot of them on the road, a lot of Toyota people like to stay Toyota. So they may have come from an Avensis or they may have come from a combustion RAV4. And now they're saying, right, we're going to start really getting into this electric vehicle space. So they're bringing the next CHR Plus. And the Plus is, as we mentioned, is significant because it's not just an electric CHR. It's a larger, it's 30 centimeters longer. So it's a fairly substantial size shift upward. Toyota are really starting to come into another, they're updating or have updated the BZ4, so now that has a bigger battery preconditioning, so you can warm it up so that it takes the charge faster. It's improving it in every way, more efficient motors, more range on the CHR Plus of over 600 kilometers. And so very decent. Like, you don't need any more than that in Ireland, really. That is Mizzen to Malinhead nearly. And so you're not going to be doing that without stopping and going and having something to eat or going to the toilet anyway. And so, yeah, looking forward to seeing more and more of what Toyota has to offer and what they're bringing to the market, because it's a hugely important brand in Ireland. Last year, I think 5 out of the top 10 cars sold were Toyotas. So there's a huge following there, and their dealer network and the brand does really well in Ireland.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, though, that, you know, brand loyalty does matter. We often talk about it in the context of phones and all the rest. And so it's good to see these legacy manufacturers broadening their offering and ensuring that there is something for everyone in the audience as such.
Yeah, Toyota would have been criticized in the past. They would have been slow to market with EVs, and they would have been dragging their feet, and they would have been talking about self-charging hybrids and stuff like that. So it's nice to see them, you know. And they would say that they're on a multi-fuel pathway. So if somebody wants to go hybrid, somebody wants to go plug-in hybrid, somebody wants to go electric, they have hydrogen in certain markets, they have clean fuels in other markets. So they're definitely counting all the different, or putting bets on all the different squares to make sure that they're not going to lose out. And for such a large global manufacturer, Greece isn't as adopted into electric vehicles as Europe, the rest of Europe is. North America's different stage of adoption to other markets. So yeah, they're definitely making sure that they're not going to be caught out and just offering one fuel type and eliminating the rest of the market.
Yeah, and you know, for someone like yourself in this space, it's exciting to see that there is still much more to come from these manufacturers. And also, I think it's a good thing for the market as well to have a broad spectrum of choice and manufacturers and all the rest. And speaking of that, it's been a while since we've spoken about Tesla.
Yeah, I'm in a Tesla Model Y long range this week because I haven't had it on the channel yet. So that video will be coming. And this weekend, I'm in the UK test driving the Tesla Model Y Performance, which is hypercar speeds. But while we would have seen them in the news in the last couple of days would have been a couple of different articles. First off, they're upgrading the range on the Model 3 and the Model Y. So they can't rest on their laurels. They know that there's competition coming. So we're getting bigger ranges across both of those models. So as of this week, if you order a new Model Y, it's about to arrive, you may be getting the newer version. Also, the Tesla Model 3 is getting an updated or a new camera in the front bumper, so visibility is better and sensoring capabilities are better. And what we wouldn't have had on the original Model 3 when it was refreshed 2 years ago, we are now getting an indicator stalk. And it sounds weird talking about a car to say they're putting it back in the indicator stalk. So this was a little experiment that Tesla said, you know what, we're going to see if we can take away all the stalks and put it all on the steering wheel. And they tried it with the Model 3. I asked my audience across my socials, where should I go? And they all said the Walkinstown roundabout, because that is just madness. And how would you be able to indicate on and off with buttons on the steering wheel? I managed it. There is a video up on the channel. I'm still here to tell the tale. But then when they brought out the Model Y last year, the stalk was still there. They hadn't removed it. So the industry and consumers were like, okay, the experiment, not sure if that's worked out. And now that the Model 3 is getting updated again, or the upgrade, they're putting back in the indicator stalk, which is so weird to say.
That is strange. But again, some of these innovations, it's very cool to see that you could potentially remove it or you could do this, that and the other. But it also has to suit the driver, and it can't be a distraction from the driver trying to figure out, oh God, I'm in a busy junction or whatever it may be. I need my indicator and it's not where my brain thinks it should be.
Your muscle memory, absolutely. Yeah. And I know you don't drive yet, Jess, and you may do someday, but you can drive from here to Belmullet. And if I said to you, what were the last three things you did in the car? Because you're indicating, or if you're still using the manual gearbox, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into autopilot for good nor bad. And so Tesla said, do you know what? Market has asked for it and we're going to do it. So the more range, great to see. And more efficient, et cetera, putting in the stocks and the camera sensing as well, or the new camera putting into the Model 3. Another story we have seen in the North American market with Tesla, and it hasn't been confirmed for Europe / even Ireland, they have brought in a base level trim, a standard trim for Model 3 and Model Y. So you're saving $3,000 on the 3 and $5,000 on the Model Y. And that is a smaller battery, not as a powerful electric motor. We're gone from vegan leather seats to cloth seats. They've taken out the rear screens in the back of the 3 and the Y. They've taken out heated seats. And so they're taking away some of the creature comforts. Jess, God forbid, you now have to adjust the side mirrors manually. You can't do that via the... and so they've said, okay, the market is looking for more affordable, and Tesla are looking to retain the share of market that they currently have. But we don't know whether that's going to come to Ireland, but it's definitely hitting the news waves within my radar with regards to the electric vehicle world. And interesting way of doing it, removing stuff from cars where a lot of manufacturers are trying to squeeze more stuff in.
It's interesting to see Tesla doing this, because for such a long time, they were the key player. They were a status symbol. They were notions. And I think because they've had, or I wonder if it's because they've had sort of a mixed bag of PR over the last 18 months, would it be a response to that? Like, do they need to start hustling a little bit to entice people over, because perhaps some people have been turned off by what they've seen from a political point of view?
Yeah, coming at them from all sides. They would have been traditionally said that they don't advertise. They would have been very much word of mouth. It would have been lots of referrals. And if you are a Tesla owner and you refer another person to buy a Tesla, you get perks like supercharger miles and credit and all this kind of stuff. And that works for a percentage of the market that you're looking to hit. But they're getting more and more competitors coming into the market, like BYD you talked about, or XPeng or NIO, or all of these other brands that are coming in, or traditional brands like Toyota and Volkswagen, etc. And so they're looking at market share and grabbing, getting into the EV space that Tesla, and you'll see this more dramatized in the North American market, where Tesla has a huge market share, whereas in Europe it's not as large, and we would have had more indigenous European brands like your Peugeots or your Citroens or your Opels that would have been on the same-ish journey to Tesla. And so, yeah, so they're getting that. They've got their own PR issues with the man at the top, and some people don't want to be associated with that. But the top-selling models for September in Ireland were the Model 3 and the Model Y. So Ireland is definitely bucking the trend if you were to look at the media. But there are other markets in Europe that are not taken to his influence as kindly, and Tesla sales are down. So, yes, they are looking at, we need to reposition ourselves. We need to offer different models at different price points. That there's been talks about the Tesla Model 2 for years, that if they do bring in an electric vehicle, that is going to be a $25,000 EV that they could clean up. But I recently visited the Gigafactory in Berlin, and it was phenomenal to see one of the largest buildings in the world, 11,000 employees, and a new car coming off the production line every 40 to 50 to 60 seconds within the minute. And so you can see the scale of the organization. It's not just what some people perceive as one man. It is a huge global organization pumping out millions of EVs, and good quality EVs as well. And they're constantly trying to improve it as well.
You mentioned there the top-selling cars for last month. We're in October now, coming towards the end of the year. Where are we in terms of EV sales? Because some of the headlines would have you believe that nobody is buying an EV. But what does the data tell us?
Year on year, EVs are up 39%. What a real turning point last month was, it was the first time ever that EVs in a year to date outsold diesel. And has continued into this month. So more people are buying EVs and diesel. And would you ever have thought that 5 years ago, Jess, when we started chatting about EVs, diesel was such a heartbeat of the motor industry, but just people are just not wanting to go there and not seeing the value, but also understanding the benefits of going electric. Plug-in hybrids are up 55%. So year on year, we're taking the first 9 months. Last month alone, if you were to take it, EVs are up 73%. Whereas petrol, diesel and hybrid were all down. And so you're seeing that shift over and some really mix of models that are in the top 10 as well. So it's a good thing to see all the different shapes and sizes that people are buying. It's not just one type.
Okay, and in terms of the shapes and sizes, what people are buying, is there a clear leader in terms of Ireland's most popular EV looking at the data, or is it kind of a mixed bag across the board?
No, it's an interesting one. Volkswagen ID4, which we would have had for, it must be coming up on nearly 5 years next year, but they've put a real push on fleet sales this year and company cars and people coming out of Passats and other vehicles and wanting to go into EV. There's a benefit and kind system there where it is, if you're a company car driver going EV, now it starts to make financial sense as much mm-hmm. as its environmental sense. So the ID4, which is now the Ireland's best-selling and was for the last while, EV of all time, but so far this year, yes, over 2,000 units. Then Tesla Model 3, Kia EV3, brand new to the marketplace. We may have not have talked about it much over the year. And so Kia really on a storm as well. The EV4, I was on a trip recently, so that's launched. EV5 is coming in a couple of months as well. So they're inventive with their branding names, but Tesla Model Y then in fourth place. Kia back with the EV6. Honda Inster, that same size as the BYD Dolphin Surf. And then we've got Škoda Elroq and Enyaq coming in towards the latter spaces in the top 10. So names that you know, and but maybe not models that you may be so aware of, like the Inster, etc. But yeah, it's great to see this traditional OEMs and new market as well.
Yeah, and it's great to hear that there's such a broad spectrum of an offering, because as you said, when we started this segment, there wasn't much to talk about, but we still did it anyway. And now it seems like every other day there's something else coming, which is fantastic. Before I let you go, I mentioned at the top of the show our Behind the Screens event, so our online safety roadshow that took place in Dublin on Wednesday. After one of the sessions, somebody came up to me with a great question, and you may not know this off the top of your head, but they said they have a Tesla, they have kids, and they can't figure out how to disable or delete the YouTube app from the infotainment system. Is this something that's crossed your desk ever before?
Never have heard of this before. And usually it's people trying to add stuff into their apps or their phone or their cars, apologies. Some cars like the Leap Motor notably doesn't have Android Auto or Apple CarPlay, but it does have TikTok, which is very strange. But adding in apps is what I usually get asked. I've never been asked about the YouTube app or any other app to be removed. So I don't know offhand, Jess. I won't say that I do. But what I will do is reach out to my contact in Tesla and ask them, is this something that can happen? I know YouTube probably paid a lot of money to be embedded in the software there in the Model Y, because the Model 3 and the Model Y have screens in the rear for their passengers, be that kids or other. But it's interesting to hear that parents are looking to restrict parental lock or delete altogether apps from those extra screens in the cars.
Well, look, if you have questions for Derek in relation to what's on the infotainment system or indeed what car you should buy, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com and hopefully we will get that answer from you the next time you're on. You mentioned the Nevo event is taking place. Give us the dates, because you'll be back on before then, but just give people an opportunity to get tickets now.
Yeah, 2 days this year. We've gone from 1 day to 2 days. So it is the 7th and 8th of November, and the 7th is a specific business day and we'll talk more about it. But if you're in business and you want to go electric or look at sustainable energy for your business, or sustainable matters for your business, that'll be the Friday the 7th. And then the consumer day, we're going to have over 120 EVs, test drives, live demo area. We'll chat about it more in a couple of weeks, but yeah, tickets are flying and you can get our free, it's the free to attend event, so you can register for your free ticket on nevo.ie.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, we'll chat in a few weeks to preview that event in greater depth. But for the moment, Derek Riley, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thanks very much, Jess.